When you look back and reflect on your life, can you remember who spoke those words of affirmation to you and provided you with just enough encouragement where you believed in yourself and you were able to go that extra mile? In this episode, I had the opportunity to speak with Derek Seymour, and you're going to hear about the time when a Navy recruiter spoke affirming words and validated him as a young man in high school, and he is now paying it forward as an educator, coach, mentor, and community leader as he transforms lives by adding value. Join me in this episode. This is Why Not You.
One, I am joined today on another episode of Why Not You by the great Derek Seymour. How you
great
doing,
now.
Doc?
Okay, we great now. All right, I appreciate that.
He said we great.
Appreciate that, brother, man. Hey, thanks for inviting me into your space.
You are definitely welcome. Hey, before we actually get started, man, I'd like to start off each episode with the quote. So the quote that I have today actually comes from the Bible.
Yeah.
Each one of us should be used whatever, or should you should, oh my goodness, that's going to be an edit. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I know that you're a man of service and just sharing. I thought this was definitely appropriate, man, for you.
So I was like, appreciate that, brother. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take whatever you got and use it to bless others, man. We're blessed to be a blessing.
That's right. That is definitely right. Man, because I know that you've been serving for, man, quite some time, just, you know, being a Navy man, real estate, education.
You know, it's just kind of my flow. Even as a kid, it was crazy, you know, because just thinking about it, you know, even as a kid, you know, I was the kid that people would ask advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a kid, you know, I was like the little nerdy kid, you know, but people was asking me girlfriend advice, like, what I know? I don't know. But to other kids, you know, the perception was that I was a good person to go to ask questions. And,
right.
You know, and that just being there to help people, to be there to just be of service is kind of always been in my nature. And, you know, if you look at kind of the things I've done, kind of my career trajectory,
mm-hmm.
just kind of bore out. It wasn't even a conscious thing. It's just who God, you know, created me to be. And I've kind of just walked in that.
Wow. Wow. So what made you actually go into the Navy?
So funny story. And the reality is my mom, you know, you're talking Vietnam era and watching like her brothers get drafted and that stuff. I grew up my whole life, my mom telling me I was never going to the military. She's like, no. Shit, they come for you, we go into the hills to hide, which is funny because I'm from Savannah, Georgia, and there are no hills. So we're going to be running a long way to do that. But the crazy thing is, you know, I grew up in a house. My parents were not parents of means. I can remember a lot of nights of eating fish and grits. And, you know, my parents weren't college educated or anything like that. And so, you know, I was poor and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom recognized something in me and thought I was smart. And so she reached out to a high school counselor, Ms. Dean, who actually got a chance to recount this story to about 5 years ago. It was dope because Ms. Dean is still rolling and kicking. She's very respected back in Savannah education community. But she actually called the Navy recruiter without telling my mom that she did it. Mm-hmm. The Navy recruiter started hounding me. And I had zero intentions of going in the Navy, zero. Basically, just off the strength of what my mom said. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, he cornered me on the phone one night. The recruiter was like, hey, I just want you to take the test, right? The little military entrance exam. I just want you to take the test. It doesn't obligate you to anything. Will you do that?
Wow.
I said yes. And I only said yes to get him off the phone. But I said yes, so I did go take the test. And I've never been one of the Christmas tree test. That night changed my life, man. I took that test, and I scored really well on it.
Wow.
And I have a clear vision. There was two kids. It was me and another kid who I never saw again after that night. Don't even remember his name. The recruiter came running out, yelling, waving some paper in the air, right? He basically threw the other kid's paper at him and handed me my piece of paper and shook my hand and said, man, you did great.
Wow.
And that night kind of haunts me a little bit. Because I always think, man, what if I was the other kid?
Oh.
You know what? I wasn't. That night was the night somebody said, dude, you're smart. You can do something. Right. And that led me to going to the Navy, study advanced electronics. And literally off of taking a test that I didn't study for, I didn't prep for it, but I had more knowledge in my brain that was ever shown on a report card.
Wow. And so do you think that that belief in you coming from somebody else outside of your family actually kind of inspired some proactiveness and some motivation behind what you did?
It did, man. It was a little baby spark. Mm-hmm. That was it. It was just enough to ignite just a little something. And what really solidified it and made me make that decision, I was bagging groceries at a local grocery store at the time. And so, you know, man, I had a little money, man. I could buy some tater chips when I wanted to.
That's right.
I bought myself a little herringbone. Remember the herringbone gold chain? I bought myself a little gold chain. Man, it was the 80s. You couldn't tell me nothing. I bought myself my own gold chain. Shoot, I was 18 carats of sex, if you ask me, boy. Couldn't tell me nothing. My big glasses. Anyway, but yeah, I'm at the grocery store bagging groceries one day. And this is after I've taken the test. The recruiter's trying to get me to sign on the line. And I'm literally standing there, and I look to the left of me, and there was a guy about 20-something years old standing there bagging groceries. And I looked to the right of me, and there was a guy on that side about 20-something years old bagging groceries. And I'm 17. Actually, 16 at the time. I even hit 17 yet. And it hit me. Now I'm 17. It hit me. If I don't do something different, I'm about to be these two dudes. And there was nothing wrong. They weren't doing anything wrong. They weren't breaking any laws. I just had to ask myself, is this all I want? Paper or plastic? For the next 5-6 years, paper, plastic, you know, can I take that out for you and hope to get some tips? And a door opened, a little crack of a door opened of an opportunity. I had no idea what was on the other side of that door. Mm-hmm. And I didn't step through it with any big goals or dreams. I just knew what I didn't want.
Right. Paper.
So, but again, it just took a counselor making a phone call, mm-hmm. a recruiter not giving up, and one test, and it unlocked what my life became.
Wow. That's deep. That is so deep. Because crazy. That's how we need to be, right? That's how we need to be with some people.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's who I've become. Like, mm-hmm. I've become that person to try to encourage mm-hmm. other people in that smallest of things, because that could spark who knows what in that person.
Yeah.
And especially as an educator working with kids, it's like, I was you. I can't let up on you because somebody didn't let up on me.
Mm-hmm. So how did that experience actually change your life going into the Navy?
Oh, man, it was everything. It got me out of, I mean, really, I had poor grades. I wasn't going to college. If I had good grades, my parents didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. It gave me an opportunity to just get outside of myself and travel, start seeing, you know, get to France and Italy, you know, go live in California for a while. It just mm-hmm. opened my eyes to the bigger world that was out there. And, you know, you understand, this is pre-internet.
Right.
So what you didn't know, you just didn't know. Uh-huh. If it didn't just happen to come on TV, or you didn't just happen to read about it in a book, you didn't know about it. So this is my chance to actually, you know, that was back when California was still called Way Out West. Nobody says that anymore because I'm a mouse click away from California now, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
But it got me out there, man. It put me in the academic space. It put me in a tech space of working with electronics. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me to kind of grow and be a man. It allowed, get out from under my mom and dad and go kind of figure myself out for a bit. So, you know, it was a game-changing decision at that point to just step away from home and step out with no plan whatsoever other than just keep moving forward. And I did that. Right. And it just kept opening up one opportunity after another, you know, that initial decision. Mm-hmm.
Now, what was your first day like? I know when, cause, you know, you always see movies of these guys going into the military, getting their hair shaved, and all of a sudden boot camp.
Oh, it was all that. all that. Yeah. Now, fortunately, my hair was pretty much like this back in the 80s.
Yeah.
My friends are teen. They call me Ski Ball. Remember Ski Ball when you go to Dave and Buster's or somewhere? Yeah. And they call me Ski Ball because I was one of the first kids to rock this low cut. You know, it's a normal cut now, but mm-hmm. back then it was like, you know, we was on the heels of the 70s. The froze was still kind of in play a little bit in Savannah, Georgia. So it wasn't much of a cut, for me at all. So it was that, it was the screaming, it was the yelling, it was that. I have vivid memories of somebody throwing a 30-gallon steel trash can up into the air, letting it slam on the floor at like 4 a.m. in the morning and beating it with a wooden spoon and get up, you dirt bag. You know, all that you see in the movies, it was just like that.
Wow.
That was the old school boot camp. Yes, sir.
And so I know boot camp like exposes strengths and weaknesses. Can you share a time like when you had to actually overcome an obstacle or a challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, I'll tell you what, and again, one of those moments you look back on and you don't recognize how significant it was, but it was at the swimming pool. One of the things you're in the Navy, you have to at least have some basic swimming skills, right? You can be out there on those ships and stuff. We were supposed to go up on this 10-foot platform, jump off, go straight down into the water, and then swim to the other side of the pool. Well, I had worked my way down to the rock category. Those are people, you put them in the water, they just sink, right? So I was in the rock group, right? So I was in the last group. Like, everybody else had done their thing, that the swimmers were good. So let's say, of these non-swimmers, can we turn them into a swimmer? And I'll never forget this, man. I stepped off that board, terrified. I hit the water. And the guy said, just listen to my voice.
Wow.
He flipped me on my back. And I'm doing a basic back pedal to the best of my ability. But he just started asking me questions. Hey, where are you from? You know, where'd you grow up? Like, tell me about your dog. And he was just talking to me. So I'm just talking. At this point, I'm not paying attention. I'm just having a conversation. All of a sudden, he says, stand up. I said, huh? I can't stay still. Stand up. I was on the other end of the pool.
Wow.
And that taught me the lesson of listening to the right voices and taking your focus off of your problems. Because sometimes you're making things worse than they actually are.
Wow.
And I'm talking early on in boot camp. That was a lesson I learned early, like, listen to the right voices and get out of your own head. You're the thing that's holding you back. And that was a great early lesson for me to learn. I never forgot that.
Wow. Man, that is such a, man, that's a major accomplishment, just you being able to recognize that, right?
Yeah.
There's so many people who still, I mean, even in the beginning, because I remember we had conversations, you like, D, man, you just need to get out your own way. You already know what you want to do. You just need to get out your own way.
Right.
Yeah. And you just think about, man, when I think we've been living this life for so many years, however old people are. And they haven't made any changes, it's going to be tough for them to actually get out of the way just overnight. It's a process.
Every day.
Yeah.
But having somebody, even once like you've made it, there's something else to do.
So I know you have to have like a competitive mindset just being in the boot camp or just going through the boot camp and being in the Navy. What kind of mindset did you have?
And it's crazy because I was competitive. And I got more competitive as I got older, but I was never competitive inside my circle, because what they do is, you know, they try to stoke that, but really it's your company, right? Your group of men that you're in boot camp with against the other company. So you're competing for pushups, shooting range, this type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I was the guy that once I really settled in, it took me a minute to settle in and get, you know, the homesickness, I had to get past that. But I was the guy that started pushing the other people because I knew if that guy won, then I won because he's a part of my group. I remember being paired with a young guy. Cisco, if you're out there, I'm talking about you right now, all these years later. Shout out, boot camp, 1986. Right. Yeah. So he was my bunkmate. So we had bunk beds. So one up, one down. And we would have these drills. We had to like make your beds in a certain amount of time. And everything had to be creased a certain way. The pillow had to be turned a certain way. The sheets had to be tucked a certain way. And we, you know, you came up with your little drill. And so we had a system on how we did it. Right. And we worked on our beds together. There was a part we did alone, but as a part, we figured out if I do yours and then you do mine, we do this together, we can speed it up by working together. And we did that. And I never forget, man, we had this one inspection and we had put his sheet on upside down. Everything was perfect, but that one little detail. And the whole thing is about learning to pay attention to detail. The smallest thing can cost you in battle, right?
Yeah.
And I just remember being crushed. It wasn't my bet. Mm-hmm. It was another dude's bet. But that was my teammate.
Right.
And I remember just being crushed. I was devastated that I let him down. Mm. That we had missed that one thing. And again, another one of those lessons, that, which is I was a dude who really would pay attention to stuff like that, mm-hmm. and like take it to heart. Even at being 17 years old, I was just kind of always that kid that was just like really dialed in on stuff like that. And so my competitiveness was always about making the group better and the team better, right? When I win, we all win. When you win, I win, right? So that's kind of where I took it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Yeah, I know.
You said that.
All that off of making a bet. Yeah, that's kind of.
But it's about going that extra step, going that extra mile, right?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. So I know you, man, you're all about serving and just, you know, just from like, you know, like we said earlier, being in the military, real estate, education, what mm-hmm. made you, what made you transition and go into real estate in the education industry or education field?
So education came first, and kind of flow was this. I got out of Navy, 1999. So I got out and I took 6 months off. Actually, I just said, I needed this. Oof. Right. That was a lot. Let me decompress and adjust to being back in civilian life. And so when I went through college, so we skipped a part. Navy paid my way through college. Earned a full, that's kind of important. I earned a full academic scholarship and they paid my way through school. So I went back home to Savannah, Georgia, ended up majoring in mathematics. Mm-hmm. Great 4 years going through the ROTC program there. Mm-hmm. Just a great experience. Got some people I still stay in touch with to this day. So I go back in and now I'm a commissioned officer. So I have been enlisted.
Yeah.
Now I'm in charge of people. Right.
Right.
So that now was a whole journey to transition to that.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah. Go for it.
Because you just said, you kind of struggled academically in high school and now you go back to college. First of all, I just want to know what changed because now you're on purpose, you know?
Like I said, transformation has kind of been my word. Mm-hmm. One, that initial test, mm-hmm. I realized that academically I can cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I end up going through this advanced electronics program. It was a struggle because I was learning how to be a student. I was learning how to study.
Yeah.
But I figured that out and I made it through that program. And so then I'm advancing and I'm doing things. Off the strength of those initial test scores, the Navy said, hey, you look like somebody who might be a good candidate to go through what was called the BOOST program, Broaden Opportunity for Officer Selection and Training. So old program doesn't exist anymore, but basically when on the heels of things like the Civil Rights Movement, they realized, hey, we're not even making African-Americans officers so they can be in charge of things. And the military went through some major changes with that. This program was designed to help traditionally disadvantaged people to start transition to those officer roles. So what that program did, it was a year long out in San Diego, California. They put me through a year's worth of college prep to make up for all my academic deficiencies. And so it was a whole school. That's what we did. We were in uniform every day. We were on a base. We were doing chemistry. We were doing 75 vocabulary words. Basically, I got high school compressed into 4 years and they were catching me up on all the stuff I'd missed based on the site, you showing potential. Let's see. Made it through that program. So it was crazy. Stationed in Pensacola, Florida. I went in, I applied to this program. There are 12 people on that base that applied to this program. Two people off that base got accepted. One graduated. And this is within like 3 years. This happened to me from going in. So that fourth year of me being enlisted was me in this college prep program. So in the 3 year time span, I went from being a kid who barely graduated high school. I mean, I had a 1 point something GPA, like I barely graduated, right? I barely graduated high school. But at my house, that was all that was required. All my parents asked me was, were you going to graduate on time? They didn't talk about how well I was doing.
Yeah.
Just don't get left back. Don't embarrass us. Go off to college, full academic scholarship, and I turned that around. I ended up majoring in mathematics, which is crazy to people right now that I ended up being that person. And I graduated with honors from college. So yeah. It done nothing but God, because I shouldn't even been in that position. All of this off of a phone call that my mom made to a counselor, because she didn't know what to do.
And your counselor making a call
that my mama didn't want her to make. Right. Yeah, when I look back over it, man, at any point, all of this could have unraveled and derailed. Mm-hmm. There was many opportunities for this to not go right, but grace of God, man, I just kept pushing. Yeah. So, fast forward. Mm-hmm. I've now gotten out of the Navy. I started working at a large financial institution.
Right.
So I did that for a few years. Hated it. In the cubicle every day, taking calls. Right? It's basically call center work, right? Mm-hmm. But I was learning finance, kind of. So that was cool. But the key came when they started looking for people to volunteer to go do junior achievement, which is when people from corporate America go into the school system and they teach kids about, you know, real life stuff, you know, mm-hmm. writing resumes, that type of stuff. Start talking about budgeting. Yeah. So I'd already been working with kids through my church. So I started doing youth group stuff in my church. And so I thought this was a natural fit. So I'm working out in the middle schools. And man, I tell you, it got to the point where I looked forward to those days more than I looked forward to going to work.
Wow.
I was like, I live for Junior Achievement Day. Uh-huh. Oh, I get to go work with the kids. And man, it was on and popping. I transitioned away from that job. And I said, I think I'm going to get into education. I reached out to one of the teachers who I was her room volunteer during mm-hmm. Junior Achievement. She wrote me a letter of recommendation. I'll tell you, I made that phone call on a Friday. The next Friday, I was in a room with a teacher addition and room key.
Wow.
Okay. You ready for a God moment? Yeah. I'm going to give you a God moment, because I reached out to her on a Friday. She said, oh, I wish I'd known. We just hired a math teacher, too. And we could have used you. You would have been great. I said, okay, yeah. But so that was Friday. Monday, I get a phone call from the vice principal saying, I heard you were looking at going into education. You still interested in that? So yeah. Turns out, I called that lady on Friday. The new teacher they hired had quit on Saturday. This guy had come from Taiwan mm-hmm. where he was a university professor teaching English. For some reason, he had to come to the United States, end up taking a job as a middle school math teacher. Them kids ran him off in a week.
Wow.
So the way I tell the story, God went to Taiwan to find somebody to hold the spot for me for a week. That's my version of the story of what happened. That's how I went down. Right. He was a placeholder.
That's...
I came in, interviewed on a Monday, spent Tuesday filling out my application, turned the application in on Wednesday, mm-hmm. went in and shadowed the math department chair on Thursday. Friday, I had a room key in the teacher's edition. That was 20 years ago. I spent 20 years working at that school.
Goodness gracious.
In that position. I taught whole families of kids. Siblings all came through. I used to listen to administrators talk about the problems I was creating because parents were arguing because they were all trying to put their kids in my class.
Ooh, that's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem to have. For me, not for the administrator. But
yeah, for other teachers because you're already setting the bar heck of high.
You got people requesting an eighth grade math teacher you know, but I found my spot. That was my niche, mm-hmm. pouring into these kids. And again, coming from the background of somebody who had been a poor student, my real niche became working with these kids who were not performing up to standard mm-hmm. and bringing them up, man. I moved so many kids, moved their numbers, man, and set them on paths to things, man. Kids write me back. I get emails. I get letters. Man, you know, they're grown and married now. I've been invited to weddings, all of that. Well, then that leads me to, how did real estate come up? Well, if you paid attention at all in America, teachers aren't necessarily the most highly paid individuals.
Yeah.
And my wife is kind of funny. She kind of likes opening the refrigerator and there'd be food in it.
Right.
You know, she's funny like that. So, basically, I was looking, okay, what is something I can do to bring in extra income mm-hmm. that works around my schedule? As an educator, you know your schedule. You know you don't work weekends, you know.
Right.
And real estate was a natural fit because I could work that around my schedule. And with technology, I could do most of it from my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how that came about. It was out of necessity.
Yeah.
But I found quickly that I'm still teaching. Mm-hmm. It's just a different subject. You still right. have to educate people on stuff, and you know, and whether you're talking numbers, talking property, whatever, mm-hmm. It's still talking people through the process. So it's almost like a natural transition because I'm still teaching, I'm still educating, I'm still, you know, ushering people along in the process.
Right. So if you're doing both education and real estate, mm-hmm. you got to have a calendar, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
So how do you
shout out to Google?
Right.
Shout out to Google Calendar and the color coding and me syncing it with my wife's that's calendar. Right. So we don't that saved my marriage.
Yeah, I bet.
Being in a look, oh, don't schedule nothing right then. Don't do it.
So how did you develop a system? Were you actually able to maintain
a lot of trial and error and you know, over the years, some spreadsheet action in there here and there, just kind of learning to keep track of things and kind of managing your time, and you fit it in. You have those 24 hours.
Right.
It's just how you maximize and utilizing those 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of work. You start with your knowns. You put the big pieces in. I know I'm working from here to here on these days. Get those pieces in first, and then you start filling in around that.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. To the best of your ability.
Right.
It is a challenge. It mm-hmm. is ongoing. But when you're kind of on mission with them, like, this is what I'm doing, mm-hmm. then it becomes this is what we're doing.
Right.
And you just got to make sure that family gets their blocks of time. Mm-hmm. You know, I know now my son's in high school. He's a freshman. He has zero athletic desire whatsoever.
Really?
But God smiled on me because somehow the football coach saw him one day and decided, you'd be a good candidate to come learn how to fly drones for us. We need somebody who can fly drones.
Are you serious?
And he's all over it. He is all over it. We're at homecoming last night.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. When I tell you, he couldn't tell you who ran what play or nothing, but the coaches are raving about the footage he's getting. I mean, we're right about 9 weeks in,
mm-hmm.
in the first quarter of school, and he's been to every practice. He does the JV games. He does the varsity games. He's guy winked. It's like somehow I'm still at the football game. My son's not in uniform. I never have to worry about him getting his knee blown out or a concussion.
Right.
Like, you know, he did mess around and catch the blade one time and chopped his finger up a little bit. He did get a game injury. He chopped up his hand. He wasn't paying attention.
Hey, does he have any aspirations as far as going into the military at all? Or does he just he's straight?
He's not
academics?
There yet, man.
No,
okay. He's not there yet. You know, and I've tried to be real careful because you know I have all these lessons now because mm-hmm. I'm on this side of it. You know, being right. older and wiser now, right. I have these lessons, and I have to really watch myself not to push him in any particular direction and let him figure out his path. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely a kid that he works better when the thing's his idea, not something that we've made him do.
You're right.
You know, and that's just taking knowing your child. And that's just my kid. He will rebel a little bit if you feel like you're just pushing him. Even if it's something he might technically want to do, right. but it wasn't his idea. So, you know, he can't admit it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We got time. You know, he's in his freshman year. My freshman year, I had zero plans.
Right.
My plan, the little bit of plan, again, the little bit of plan I had didn't even happen until my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind myself of who I was and who I am. And not put unfair expectations on him. He'll figure it out.
Right.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to guide. I'm here to consult. But I'm not here to have any type of forced compliance on his future.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's good. Yeah, you know, it's crazy because my my bro called me up. You know, we just been like super good friends since high school. So we call each other brothers. And a lot of people actually think we're brothers because we look alike. But man, he ended up calling me. up earlier this week, saying, "Hey, man, H is, you know, he's leaving. He's leaving Washington, and he said, you know, he's gonna, you know, drive alone to California to, you know, try to get this job. Basically, so he's gonna be traveling by himself. The first thing I thought about was, you know, here this brother is. You know, he graduated from college, and I tell you what, mm-hmm. his last year of school, he actually wrote and directed like a musical type production where you have actors who are singing and actresses who are singing. And so the brother's gifted, right? But
I just think you have to be in that place to actually allow your kids, you know, some freedom to, I mean, be there to guide them. Of course, we're going to worry about them, right. But at the same time, hey, allow them to operate in that space where they, you know, where they can utilize those gifts and talents. That's what it's all about at the end.
And our thing has always been, if he shows a little bit of inkling of interest in something, we going all in.
Yeah,
he's got more gear and gadgets and tablets to, you know, and stylus pit. It's like, oh, you think you might want to draw? I'm getting you the gear. Oh, now you think you want to? I'm buying you a camera. Yeah. Like that. That's always kind of been. I'm gonna make sure you have the tools. It won't be because you don't have the tools. And even if he ends up not using it, I invested in the experience.
Yeah.
And he had the experience, and that's going to count for something down the road. Not just, you know, I've kind of learned that that's the way I need to parent my kid. I can't speak for nobody else, but that works for me. It's just, I'm just setting the table and making sure everything's available for him to eat to the best of my ability. And then we'll sit back and see what he picks, you know? That's it's a menu. It's a buffet. It's Golden Corral, you know? pick what works for you. I'm just going to make sure all the bins are stocked up.
Yeah, that's right. So now with your students, how are you how are you helping your students develop habits to actually, you know, that they get, that they can implement in their life to help them become successful?
Yeah, it's so many things. I'm learning that you have to really pay attention to kids individually for one. There's there's no like cookie cutter recipe for how to do this. And there's some kids, like I had a kid 1 year, you know, teaching geometry. He ended up acing the state geometry exam. I took zero credit for that. I was, first thing I said was, oh, I'm glad I didn't mess you up, man. Cause the kid was a machine. I just stayed out of his way. I could say a little something and he was gone.
Yeah,
you know, he might ask a question, he might not ask a question, but I always knew he was good. But there are other kids. I had one young lady just 4 or 5 years ago. It's pre-COVID, because you know everything is based on, you know, before COVID, after COVID. She came in, man. And so the way our ranking system works, because level 1 through 5, level 1 is the lowest performer. You're like below. If you hit a 3, you're kind of on standard, and then 4 and 5, of course, you're doing really well. This one particular young lady comes in. She had been level 1 in math in the 6th grade and level 1 in math in the 7th grade. And the first thing out of my mouth was, I'm not good at math, right? But I'm watching her. She's quiet. She's polite. She's well-spoken. And she's always reading a novel, 600-700 pages, you know, thick.
Right.
So I'm like, so, okay, so this is not a child with no intelligence.
Right.
This is a child with confidence issues. And I just started working on that confidence. I started working on that confidence and started handing her the math in bite sizes where she could work with it. Fast forward, we get to midway through the year, coming into the holiday season. I call her dad, and her dad was military, so she'd moved around a lot. So that was also an issue, not having really ties. And I said, I think your child should be moved up from pre-algebra to algebra one, but this is the play. I'm going to let her stay in my pre-algebra class, but sign up for an online Algebra 1 class. She'll still have access to me to ask me questions, but she needs to get pushed ahead. And she was like, what? You're crazy. Look at my scores. I said, I don't care about your scores. And you have to really be paying attention and look at a child who on paper has been below standards in middle school for 2 years straight and think this child can jump to an advanced level math course.
Right.
But you have to know your craft, and you have to really be paying attention to the individual. She ended the year making an A in my class, scoring level 5 on the state pre-algebra exam, getting an A in her Algebra 1 class, and passing her state algebra end of course exam on the first try.
And she blew her own mind.
But because of that, that then allowed her to apply to one of the advanced high schools here. We have 2 of the top 10 high schools are in Jacksonville, Florida, which is where I'm at. She was able to apply to that school. Requirement to even get in the school to even apply is you have to finish Algebra 1 by the end of 8th grade. Remember, she started the year. She wasn't even in the class.
Wow.
We started in August. School starts in August. I didn't put her in the class to December, January timeframe. She got it done. To know that I changed the trajectory of a child's life internally and externally, it don't matter how much they pay me. You can't pay me enough for that experience. I know I did that for a child, and I've helped many children like that. And here's the kicker. I taught her no additional math. It wasn't even a math issue. It was a confidence issue. It was how she viewed herself. Mm. I worked on that and made that up.
Wow. Whew. So the potential is there. The ability is there. It's just extracting it.
It was me at 17 with a recruiter going, woo! And for the first time, somebody making me feel smart. Mm. I remember the first time somebody made me feel smart. And I worked to do that for children.
Wow.
Because sometimes that's enough to move the needle, just enough.
And she going to pay it forward. There's no telling what this girl going to do.
Now, I may never see her again. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. I know I did God's work by sowing into a child.
Yeah, right.
That's enough for me to sleep real well at night.
Hope you enjoyed part one of Why Not You with Derek Seymour. Hey, stay tuned for part two. We're just getting started.